But my message is called Change the World. Change the World. We got through all that fast. I don't have to preach as quick. I was afraid we were going to be way too long. There's a quote that says, "He who influences the young defines the future." Can I say that again? He who influences the young. Can I add, he or she who influences the young defines the future. When I say young, I speak of the kids, I speak of the teens, I speak of the young adults. He who influences the young defines the future. Many years ago, when they would sell cigarettes, they would focus on the young people. Why the young? Today, they're doing it with e-cigarettes, vapes. Why are they focusing on the youngs? Because they know if they can get the young people focused and addicted, they will have them for life and define their future in sales. I had a parent, it wasn't my generation, it was my mom's generation. When I was a kid, there was a parent that told my mother that she said, "I don't really believe in sowing my faith into my children. I'm going to allow them to decide for themselves what faith they want to choose." Do you know what that mom was doing? Because their child is influenced. It just wasn't influenced by mom or dad. Their child was influenced by the TV, by their friends, by all different kinds of influences. What she was saying is she was relinquishing her God-given responsibility that God had instilled in her to do that she chose to not do. Because schools influence our youth. College professors influence our youth. Peers influence our youth. The TV defines our young. Social media, big time, defines our culture. This is why it is so important that the parents have a moral compass and influence their child in the ways of the Lord. I recently read some statistics that said if mom and dad just don't attend church, but if mom and dad are engaged in a relationship with Jesus Christ and is active weekly in a church, there was a 77% chance that that child, when that child grows up, will attach to a local church. Here's even crazier statistics. If that family is led by the husband, and the husband is the one that leads his family, the church, those statistics go up 93%. Crazy. When the father leads his family into the body of Christ and leads his family spiritually, there's a 93% chance that that child will engage in a local church and be a part of a local church when they are an adult. Talking about changing the world, how do we do it? I've talked about it before. It's like, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? How do we change the world one child at a time? And it starts in your home. But all too often, adults, and when I speak of adults, I'm speaking of older adults, and when I speak of older adults, I'm speaking of myself here. We would like to see the young in preparation to change their world. Let's wait till they're 30. Let's wait till they're 40 to do something crazy. The problem with that scenario, that is not what we see in history. This morning, let me challenge you to reach the young. Let us raise up. Let us invest our time with them. Let us watch as us, as the vessels of God, as them, as the vessels of God, change the world. Pour into them. Mentor them. Get so filled up with Jesus that they see Jesus through you and want to be more like him. Number one this morning, change the world. We all know, look at any music video, it is mostly made up of young people. Most of them are young because music, the young people influence the music of our day. Yet, unfortunately, so often the church doesn't utilize the youthfulness we have because they're in preparation, which is a false statement. If they were born again, they are the church of the now. They have the same Holy Spirit indwelling in them. They have the same power that the adults have. Let me give you some examples. Joan of Arc. How many of y'all know Joan of Arc? All right. Joan of Arc, she was a French teenager in the 1400s that led many successful battles for France. in the Hundred Year War. When she began that journey, she was 17 years old. She died when she was 19. She changed her world. She started as a peasant. Today, she is considered in France as a hero, and in the Catholic Church, she is considered a saint. 17. Michelangelo, considered the greatest artist of all time, sculpted the big statue of David, I believe is right up there in Italy. When he was 15 years old, he sculpted the Madonna on the steps. 15 years old. Jeremiah in the Bible, the book of Jeremiah, 1st and 2nd Kings, the book of Lamentations are all credited to him. Considered the second greatest prophet of all Judaism. Historians believe he was 17 years old when God called him to be a prophet for the Jewish people. 17. He probably needed to wait a little bit longer. Probably need to be 30. Maybe 40 before we give him that prominence. Mark Zuckerberg, anybody ever heard of him? Founder of Facebook. He was 20 years old. Whether you like Facebook or not, it has changed the world. And some would argue it has changed the political climate of our nation. It has changed the world. He was 20 years old. Anybody ever heard of William Willie Johnson? Anybody? Historians? Come on. There he is right there. He earned the Medal of Honor for his actions during the seven-day battle in what was called the Peninsula Campaign during the American Civil War. Get this. Y'all ready for this? Medal of Honor. 12 years old. Is that crazy? Bobby Fischer became the international chess grandmaster at 15. Louis Braille, it's kind of funny. My daughter just asked me this morning or yesterday and says, who invented the Braille? And I said, I'm actually saying it on Sunday. Go figure that. Louis Braille invented the Braille system for the blind. He was 15 years old. Steve Jobs, anybody know him? Founder of Apple Computers, he was 19. Bill Gates, co-founder of Microsoft, he was 19. Alexander the Great was 16 years old when he started to take the lead over the armies that led the people. By the age of 30, he had created one of the largest empires of the ancient world. He was undefeated in the battle and is considered one of the most successful commanders of all times. And he started at 16. Esther. The book in the Bible tells of her story. She marries a king, saves the Jews from being destroyed and annihilated. Powerful book in the Bible. Historians believe when that all began, her Hebrew name was Hadassah. They believe she was 14 years old. And she saved an entire group of people, God's people. This is the famous verse that comes out of Esther chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Mordecai is going up to warn Esther and challenge her to take a bold step. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place." He was saying, if you don't do it, you're going to die just like one of us. But God will raise up another. Yet who knows whether you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Perhaps the kids in this room, the teenagers in this room, the young adults in this room are here at Go Church today for such a time as this to change their world for the kingdom of God. The 12 disciples? Nowhere in the Bible does it explicitly say how old they were. But there's a couple of evidences in the Bible that speaks to that. In Matthew chapter 17, you don't have to turn to it, but it speaks about paying taxes. The only two people that paid taxes was Jesus and Peter. The only people that paid taxes in those days were adults. So what did it mean for the rest of the disciples? A Jewish man in those days married after he was 18 years old. Peter, as far as we know, was the only disciple that was married. So what does it say about the rest of the disciples? When we see images, probably even this and up here, we see 30, 35-year-old men. We know Jesus was in his 30 when he started his ministry, died at 33. But we picture that all the rest of them were about Jesus' age, and these are false representations. They were probably 17-year-old young men. Remember in the Bible, the mamas come up to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, can my son be on your right side or on your left side?" What 30-year-old man's mama would go up to his boss and say, "Hey, but come on, mama, you know you'd do that for your 17-year-old son." Yeah, he's on the basketball team. You go up to the coach. He should be playing more because you know he's the best. We fight for our kids. History tends to believe that the disciples, the ones that changed the world, the ones that got sold out, filled with the Holy Spirit, shared the gospel to the ends of the earth, and you and I are a product of them, were probably 17 years old when they started. What if a 16 or 17-year-old kid in this room got so set on fire for Jesus that they set their school on fire for Jesus, that spread to all the campuses of the surrounding area of Katy, and we say, it happened before. It can happen again. We must change our community by allowing the Lord through us to change the hearts, the minds, and the passion of our youth of our land. So why does this all matter? Because unless you've had your head in the sand, you must realize the moral compass of our nation is changing rapidly. I may have said this last week. I've said it several places recently. But I left America about 9 years ago. I would come back for a month at a time, but it was almost to live here. I walked into a culture that did not exist the way it existed when I left. It had changed that rapidly and drastically. It was shocking. The Bible Belt of Texas has changed. It's like I've been asleep for 9 years and I woke up to a different world. To pastor in this age is a whole different way of pastoring than it was 10 years ago. Of speaking truth, biblical truth, but loving people on a journey. Some of them have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel in our day and age. Wow, it's crazy to believe. To be surrounded in a community that go to the mall, and almost any store you go to, you will see a Muslim lady that just didn't exist like it does right now, 10 years ago. And that's not a negative, man, for the church. That's a positive because the world has come to us. I'm not saying that to diss on any immigrant coming into our nation. I am saying that we as a church have a mandate from God to love people and reach people for Jesus. We have our mission field right here in Katy, Texas, at Katy Mills Mall, your next door neighbor, people who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. We are called to reach those people. I talked about a couple of weeks ago about a video my daughter shared with me. It was about a Muslim man that went to college. He was very astute in his belief system. He was raised in a very conservative Muslim home, and he roomed with a debater who happened to be a born-again believer. And he's like, "This is going to be easy. I'm going to beat him all over the place." And they debated for a year, and he finally gave his heart to Jesus, got sold out. For the rest of his life, he shared the gospel. He died of cancer not too long ago. But in one of his presentations, he said, "My mother has never met, besides me, an authentic believer." He said, "They see her hijab on her head, and they ignore her or walk away from her or scared to invite her into her home." He said, "She only sees what Hollywood shows them." And she said, "If that's Christianity, I don't want to meet that Jesus." He said, "The only believer she's ever met was him." Let that not happen in Katy, Texas. As long as Go Church is here and all the other Bible-believing churches, let us be a people that believe that we can change our world by loving people and speaking the truth to people. Our mission is to love God, love people, reach people, disciple people. That's what we will do. Why it matters? Because the moral compass of our nation has changed rapidly. Why it matters? Because it is our mission by God to reach this world. It is the very reason you exist. I don't care if you're a nurse, you're a doctor, you're a school teacher. If you're a school teacher, if you're a doctor, your mission is to use your skill set to be light right where you are. And in many ways, it's a far more important position than a pastor, because you're right in the thick of things where people are all around you, and God has brought you there for such a time as this to be an influence. Why this matters? Because if we don't influence them, the social media and the internet surely will. Oftentimes, the school and the internet has far more sway on a teenager than mom and dad does. And there's all kinds of crazy things on the internet. We can change our world by the power of God flowing through us and impacting those around us. So how do we change our world? Hear me very strongly. This does not exclude the older folks. When I say older, 40 and above, in fact, it utilizes our wisdom and our giftings like never before. Does not exclude us. It reminds us of our role. So I'm going to give you 7 quick things, and I will move very, very quickly. The first one may take a little bit longer, but the rest of them will move quickly. Number one, how do we change our world? Number one, have an encounter with Jesus. I'm not talking about get religion. I'm talking about having an encounter with Jesus. I'm not talking about living one way on Sunday, cleaning up, dressing up, having the right words, dressing the right way, looking the right way on Sunday, but living like the devil Monday through Saturday. There was a guy in Belize that was visiting our church, and he was a petty drug dealer. He has since been murdered. He is no longer with us, but I remember I greeted him as he was coming into the building. At that time, we met upstairs in a facility, and he was talking to me, and he got ready to walk upstairs. He said, oh, it's church time. Let me go upstairs. And he got up 4 steps, and then he went back down, and he's like, oh, man, I forgot to take off my earring. So he took off his earring and put it up, and then he ran on up the church. Let me preface this, guys. I don't care if guys wear earrings or not. I'm not preaching against earrings. Don't hear me say that at all. But to him, wearing an earring going up to the church service was not religious. When he did that, it spoke volumes to me. This was just religion to him. He comes to church, he dresses a certain way, he doesn't say the dirty jokes, he doesn't sell his drugs on Sunday, he takes out his earring and he looks religious for 2 hours. And then he goes back and lives like the devil the rest of the week. That is not an encounter with Jesus. That's just religion. America's done with religion. They want to see something authentic and real. They want to hear pastors and leaders stand up and talk about their journey, their failures, and their triumphs. They want to see a real people walking together through the journey of the hiccups, and sometimes they're low hiccups, and sometimes they're great victories. The world around us wants to see authentic people loving Jesus, an encounter with Jesus. Do you remember when Ketchy was here, I don't know, about 6 weeks ago on Mother's Day, her mother spoke for about 5 minutes. And I asked her mother, I said, could you share with us, since it's Mother's Day, how you encouraged your daughter in her darkest hour? If you don't know the story, she was in a plane crash in Nigeria that killed 107 out of 109 people. She was one of 2 that survived. She was burned at 63% of her body, and she survived. The crazy miracle about it, she sang okay before, but after the accident, she sang far more beautiful than ever. She went on to America's Got Talent, got in the top 10, and she said, through that whore, God gave me a voice. That was powerful. Another thing she said is, I am not defined by my scars, and I thought that was powerfully spiritually for us. No matter if we have burns or not, we're not defined by our past and our scars. We're defined by how God sees us in our future, amen? But we asked her, Mom, how do you encourage your daughter in her darkest hour, in her most depressed time? How do you encourage her? And the mom said this. She said, everybody thinks I was this sold-out Christian when my daughter had the plane crash. She goes, I was really weak at that time spiritually. She said, but this season forced me to dig into the Word like never before. She goes, as my daughter laid in a coma in that hospital bed in South Africa, she said, it forced me to open my Bible. And she said, I read through that entire Bible as she was sitting in the hospital, and I poured in, and I had an encounter with Jesus. And she said, when my daughter woke up, the well that was inside me began to pour out into my daughter. How do you change your children? You have an encounter with Jesus. And when you have an encounter with Jesus, you are able to pour out, and they can catch it. They will see it. They will want it. It won't be religion. It'll be Jesus. Number two, read God's message to you. God wrote this book for you. Read it. In the back of Go 101 is the daily reading. You can get one at the info table. There are flyers that you can pick up if you want to read the Bible throughout the year. But read this book. It is designed for you. It is God's love letter for you. Be a self-feeder. Dig into it. Number three, have a daily conversation with God. I like to call it a conversation about it more than prayer, because prayer just seems, it's so normal in a faith culture that it's just become religion. Have a daily conversation with God. What do I mean by that? Just talk to Him. You don't have to close your hands. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to get on your knees. Just talk to Jesus. You don't have to use special words. You hear people say, wow, that person can pray really good. Well, what does that mean? I mean, I don't have a conversation with other people and say and walk away like, wow, Hilda can talk like really well. Wow. I mean, it's just a conversation with God. You don't have to say, thou with in heaveneth, Godeth pleaveth. You don't have to put all the King James. Just talk to God. Have a conversation. When you're mad, go ahead and tell Him. Guess what? I got news. He knows it anyway. Is that crazy? He already knows. Talk to Him. Communication is two-way. Listen to His voice. Number four, connect to a group and be faithful there. I believe with all my heart the New Testament church was made up of a community of small group of believers that walk together in community. We will never change our world from a two-hour sermon on Sunday morning. But being a part of a community of believers where we challenge one another, because it's oftentimes caught far more than it's taught. I was at a group on Friday night, and I saw the two babies in the group being shared by all the ladies in the group, passing them along when they were crying or needed the diaper change and all that good stuff. The group was sharing the babies. Cynthia came to group. She had bought a cookie and had to, and she was at Walmart, and she invited that person at Walmart to go group in the church. So I saw a family connecting to family and taking care of the children. I saw outreach taking place. It was at Paola's house, and when somebody would come to the room, come to the house and ring the doorbell, you need to see Paola. She runs to the room. Oh, it's Carolina! It's Carolina, everybody! And everybody clapped, and oh, it's Carolina! Everybody was so excited that somebody else came. It was so amazing. I saw the gifts of the Spirit in operation. I saw a church happening. Be faithful to a go group, because it's caught far more than it's taught. We want you to connect to a group where you can laugh, where you can cry together, where you can hold each other accountable and open the Word together and discuss it, where you can pray together and you reach out to your friends and neighbors in your community and see people saved and discipled. Number five, be available to receive and use the gifts of the Spirit. We are a charismatic church. We are unashamed to say we believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. Powerfully when they're used in the Sunday morning setting, but also very, very powerfully when they're used in a small group where they encourage the body of Christ. God wants to release in you spiritual gifts and allow you to build the body of Christ, because that's what spiritual gifts are all about. It's edifying the body of Christ. Speaking life, for what God is speaking through you into their lives. Number six, be a spiritual father or mother. This one's very, very important. Whether you want to call it mentoring, coaching, discipling, whatever you want to call it, it is the backbone of the Great Commission. The Great Commission, go into all the world and make disciples, never says go into all the world and lead people to Jesus. So if all we do is pray a sinner's prayer with people, we fail the Great Commission, because the Great Commission calls us to disciple people, to use a non-biblical term, to mentor them, to raise them up to be strong Jesus followers. It is the backbone of the Great Commission. We've spoken at the beginning of this message about the young people, the disciples, Jeremiah, Esther. The disciples had a mentor. It was Jesus. This is why we, the older ones, are so important, because we can pour into the kids, the teens, the young adults, and watch them change the world. You don't have to answer this out loud, but who taught you how to ride a bike? Probably your mom or dad. Who taught you how to drive a car? Probably your mom and dad. I'm teaching Kaylee right now. Pray for me. Pray for me. Yesterday was a very terrible day. I didn't even think about it to go, and she drove on the freeway for the very first time. Do not take a beginning driver on the freeway on back to school shopping day on I-10. Bat. Kaylee's a pretty good driver, at learner. You know, I'm normally saying, hey, they're braking, slow down, you know, put on your blinker, you know, do this, you know, pretty calm, not really tense that much. But on the freeway, I'm like, they're braking. Look at this. Blinker. Go. Turn around. He's like, what's wrong with this? I'm so stressed. There's a cop in the middle of the road with his lights on. Somebody dumped some trash in the middle of the freeway. And I'm like, slow down. We don't want to get caught by the cops. 20 miles an hour. Slow down. Oh, he's braking. So let's just get off the freeway. So we went and parallel parked. She actually does good parallel parking. I didn't give her a book and say, read the book and go out and drive on your own. Because a healthy parent gets in the passenger seat. For the last 3 weeks, I've had this twitch. I don't know what's going on. They get in the passenger seat. And they let the one they're mentoring in the driver's seat. We are called to raise up the next generation. We are called to jump in the passenger seat and watch the younger getting the driver's seat and raise them up to change our world. My role as a pastor is not to do everything. In fact, I believe with all my heart the fivefold gifting commands me not to do everything. Ask almost anything, what is the role of a pastor? And they'll tell you the pastor people. What is the role of an evangelist? They go out and evangelize people. What is the role of the prophet to prophesy? And I would say that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says the pastor's job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The evangelist's job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The apostle's job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So my role as a pastor is an equipper of people. I should be doing the job too, because I'm a believer. But we as a body of Christ are to be raised up as powerful disciples and leaders. And we do it together, and we're far more effective together. Because I'm supposed to take the passenger seat, and you're supposed to take the driver's seat. Your children in your home, you are to take the passenger seat and raise them up. Let your ceiling become their floor. Let how far you can get in your purpose from God be their floor. And they will go farther. I've said this before, and I'm spending too much time here, but I want to say this. My dad celebrated all of my achievements. He celebrated all my achievements. Because everything I achieve, he was blessed because I'm a son. Everything I got to do that perhaps he didn't get to do was just a joy because that was a son. We want to be a church that pushes the young up to achieve greater things, perhaps that we have never achieved. Because we want to reach and change our world for Jesus. Number 7. Believe that we can change our world. You're not too young and you're not too old. If you are my age or older, let us raise up a generation. Let us find ways to pour into our children and other children. Let us adopt, maybe even not legally, let us, what I mean, spiritually adopt people and pour into them and believe in them and raise them up. And if you are young, 1 Timothy 4:12 said, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul wrote this to Timothy, what many scholars believe Timothy was 17 years old. Change your world. Right now we're going to pray over the students. If you're a teacher, if you are a homeschool teacher, if you're a principal, if you work for the school system, we would love for you to come forward at this time. All your students, if you're starting kindergarten all the way to, I don't know, you're working on a doctorate, y'all just begin to make your way forward now. If someone wanted to get the custodians that are here with us, they are welcome to come forward. All right. Yeah, it's like the whole church. All right, that's a good thing. Whee! Wow. Can I just brag on this family right over here real quick? Their dad and mom are pastors of a four-score church in Nigeria. And I went to tell them goodbye last week, and I said, because you're not going to be with us next week because your dad needs to visit another church. And they're like, no. She goes, we like it here. She said, we're just going to ask him to drop us off. So I guess that's what happened. So this will be their last week with us because they're heading back to Nigeria. And so we are so glad y'all been with us for 3 weeks. We're glad you've been with us. And so, yeah. In just a moment, we're going to stretch our hands out and pray for them. We have a small gift for them that we're going to bless them with. But we just want to pray. Guys, may I speak to you whether you are Maxwell. How old are you, Maxwell? 5 years old. Whether you are 5 years old or whether you're 45 years old, change your world. Find a group of believers in your school. Connect with them, begin to pray. When I was a freshman in high school, I had a senior in high school and it was a female. She took me under her wing and she began to speak life over me. She began to tell me that, Lee, I see something special in you. God wants you to do something great. And I began to believe that. And she poured into me. She would challenge me. And I am who I am today because a senior in high school believed that a freshman, short little kid could do something for God. And I appreciate all that she poured into my life. Find a group of people and change your world. Everybody talks about revival. I think it's going to happen in the schools. Through you, encounter Jesus. Change your world. Would you stretch your hands out? Father, we thank you for all of these. From the very young, all of these students, teachers, administrators, workers in the school system, God. God, we ask that you would bless them. We ask that you would keep them safe. In a day and age that seems to have people that are so distraught and angry and uncontrolled going to places and harm other people, we ask that you would protect these schools that these children and adults are going to, God. Father, we ask that you would raise these young people up to be warriors in your kingdom, that they would have such an encounter with Jesus. Everybody around them would see their faith and want what they have, not religion, not a Sunday morning Christianity, but a relationship, an encounter with you, O God. Cause them to change their schools. Let them be so on fire. Put them around other believers that love you with all their hearts and where they can pray and hold one another accountable. And Father, we ask that you would do a mighty work. Father, we ask that you would open their mind to the things that need to be opened to, and you would close their mind to the things that need to be closed, God. Father, you would allow them to learn and thrive, their grades to excel. We ask that you would keep them in health, and we ask that you would keep them safe as when they're going there, and when they're coming home, God. God, let this be a blessed year. Let 2019 and 2020 be a year that they look back and say, that was a great year. And Father, raise up the older ones to pour into the young, that we take the passenger seat and allow them to take the driver's seat and watch them change their world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Don't leave. Our ushers are coming right now. They want to bless you with customized spiral and some pencils. Yeah, we weren't sure if we're going to have under 35 or more. I think we have a few more than 35 up there. Years old. Once you have it, do we want to get a picture of it? Yeah, let's you stay up there, and our official videographer and picture taker of our church, Melissa Buenavista, will take a quick picture. You may need to go to the back. Why am I talking to the speaker when I'm talking to you? I don't know. All right. Still got more to go? All right. A few more. Almost done. All right. Is there anybody up here that doesn't have one? All right. All right. I would just tell the audience to say this to y'all, but if I ask the audience to say it, y'all are more than them, I think. So in just a minute, I'm going to say all of us, and y'all look at them, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to close, and y'all are going to say, you don't have to do it now, but change. You don't have to do it now. I'm telling you. Your world. Y'all ready? Y'all tell them. Y'all repeat it. Say, change.
Change.
Your world. Father, we pray for them. We thank you that they will change their world, Father. That, Father, today is the beginning of something new and afresh. We leave here excited about your presence, excited about having an encounter with you, excited about what these young people will do for your kingdom, God. And we believe in them, and we bless them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, God bless you. Y'all have a wonderful day.
Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Broken lips.